So, Charlotte, what's new in the world of technology and pets?
Well, pet health is really what it's all about. And it's so interesting because we're all talking about new wearable technology, but now there's also wearable technology for pets. And it's interesting, most of it started out in terms of location, GPS tracking. So if you had a dog that liked to jump over the fence, the first device people went out was they got an attachment to the collar, which you could add on to the collar, which needed to be charged every few weeks. And in real time, it would tell you where your dog was located. So if he jumped over the fence and was wandering around the neighborhood, you could see exactly where he was. Or if your children were walking him and you wanted to make sure they were okay, the same thing. Now, a lot of the technology has to deal with health and wellness. So one of the newest products on the market, really, it's called FitBark. It monitors your dog's activity levels, so and knows if your dog, in comparison to other dogs of that breed or size, are getting the same type of exercise that, quote unquote, that he should. So that's been kind of interesting to see, and it helps people set goals. I mean, one of the things that you find out if you use a program like that is your dog is not getting enough exercise. I mean, a walk around the block just isn't cutting it anymore, especially since we have so many overweight pets. Now there's even a system called Voice, which is about $200, and it monitors your dog's vital signs.
Oh, wow.
So if you have a dog that, for example, a King Charles Cavalier that has a heart condition and you want to monitor his heart rate, you can do so every 15 minutes and continue from there. So if you're worried about him being in the house alone, that's one of the things that you can do. And Voice actually just made one for a Voice Pro for vet professionals, so they can monitor when they're away from their offices or they want to check up on a patient. And ultimately, I mean, it costs $200, and then there's a fee under $10 every month. I think it's probably about $7 or $5, something along, $5.99, something along those lines that you pay. But, the batteries run down, so you have to charge it. But when you think about it, in the long run, you end up saving money for those vet visits.
Well, and if your pet does have a heart condition or something like that, you'd want to know what's going on anyway, so I think it would be well worth it.
Oh, I think it would be well worth it too. And as someone who is a recent diabetic, now I'm not overweight. I go to the gym. It ended up being, for me, a hereditary condition. And now I've zhuzhed up my exercise so I can get off the meds. But, diabetes is a condition that one has to monitor very, very closely. I take my blood sugar, sometimes 2 to 5 times a day, depending on how I feel. And it's interesting to note that because so many pets are overweight, there are a lot of diabetic pets coming aboard. And it's interesting, diabetes for people is not like diabetes for dogs. Actually, I shouldn't say that because dogs have more of a type 1 diabetes, which is what is more of the autoimmune type of diabetes. So for dogs, there's no substitutes. They only pill substitutes. They have to take insulin. So Abbott Health now has a glucose monitor that you can buy and do the readings at home by pricking your dog's ear, which has a lot of blood vessels, to extract blood and to be able to determine his glucose range. Whereas, we know as human beings, we can go to the local drugstore and buy a glucose monitor. But because my partner in life is Dr. Fleck, and he sees a lot of diabetic dogs, and they have to come into the office, and, they get charged for an office visit every time they come and have their glucose read. So that's another way that people can save money right there.
Well, and I think, too, if you know your dog is diabetic and your dog isn't feeling well or not acting right, that would be like another good thing to give you peace of mind knowing, well, it's not the glucose. It must be something else. And then try and find out what it is.
Adjust the diet accordingly. I know in my case, a lot of times I need something sweet if my blood sugar goes low, followed by something that is like a protein. So, yeah, you can adjust your dog's diet and his glucose level accordingly, as well as exercise. So these are all things that are really at the forefront. There is actually a new kind of, now someone once called it a Walkman for dogs, but it's called an Ultracommer, and it has to do with a smart collar device that you can actually attach to your dog's collar. And it's a music chip inside. So if you're going through a thunderstorm or you're traveling, the Ultracommer will play music for 2 or 3 hours.
That's awesome.
And that you can attach to your dog's collar. A composer devised the music. So it's very calming. It's modified music. So the trebles aren't so high and the basses aren't so low. But, you know, these are all things that are coming down the pike. I mean, this wearable technology phase for pets really is going to be busting into by like 2000 and probably 20. It's going to be up in the billions of dollars that people will start buying these devices for their pets.
I think these things that you've talked about are just, they're really interesting and great news for pet owners who want to make sure their pets are healthy.
Absolutely. I mean, and there are other things that are really coming on the forefront. So, for example, you know, for years we've seen, especially if you hunt or fish or you're in the U.S. Army, you have insect repellent clothing. Well, Insect Shield, which has been doing creating clothing and fabric for the U.S. military for 20 years, now has a pet line where the insect bug protection is built into the fabric. So now they have a whole line of bandanas, which don't do very much, but T-shirts, vests, beds, playpens. So if you're an outdoor enthusiast and you like to go camping and you like to go hiking or taking your dog hunting, now you have the option of purchasing this whole line of products. And it's in a nice bright color. It's in green. It's in oranges. It's kind of very hip. But that protection is out there. And it's interesting because not so long ago, I was in Chicago. I was doing a morning TV show out there, and the weekend weather anchor was an avid fisherman, and he liked to go fish on the Great Lakes, and he wore insect repellent clothing. So he got a kick out of it knowing that that was available for his dog.
Oh, I think a lot of people around here will go for that.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's Insect Shield. So, I mean, and like I said, it lasts the life of a fabric. They say 70 washes. It's not something that you want to necessarily wash all the time, and you don't wash it with your clothing. But I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, right now, as we find out, that the fleas and ticks are really hardy. They're not dying out. Even in the fall weather and the cold weather, they don't necessarily die out. So people are looking for a little added protection in regards to their topicals, their tablets, and any, you know, sprays that they use. So this is a great way to give your dog that added protection. It's not for cats because the bud protection uses Pyrethrin, which is not necessarily good for cats, and they prefer you not use it with cats. But, you know, there's natural sprays, which are really, you know, everyone's into natural. But, I mean, part of pet health is really thinking about these things in advance. I mean, I had a Twitter party recently, and I asked people, for example, because we know so many people travel with their pet, I said, you think about safe travel, but do you think about healthy travel, how to reduce your dog's stress level? And most people say, you know, not really. I mean, I spend most of my time thinking, like, will my dog get lost? And I said, okay, so just like you go through time withdrawal, you know, getting caught up with the various time zones you're in, your dog has to do the same thing. And when a dog ends up having a really high stress level, a lot of times they might sleep more. So when you're traveling, take that into consideration. You also want to feed them close to as regular schedule as possible. I know when Ty and I travel, and we'll be traveling the week after next for my Halloween tour, we're hitting 3 cities in 3 different time zones in 5 days.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And I know, like, you know, we'll be traveling early in the morning when we go to Denver. We'll be traveling in the mid-afternoon when we hit San Diego, which is an hour from Denver. Then we go back to Vegas. And we're in Vegas for 2 days, and then we come home only to go back out again on Tuesday because we have a show on Monday here in Florida, and go back to another time zone. And a lot of times I kind of take that into account. You know, I carry bottled water with me. I keep him on his regular diet. And if I think I'm going to have too much and I don't want to carry the food with me, I ship it ahead.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I buy it at a local store and I have it delivered to my hotel. So, you know, but Ty also eats an organic, sustainable food. He eats a food called Avengers. And really, that's another food I always recommend to people because it's a very small family business. It's based in Chicago. And when you call a lot of times, if you have questions, the president of the company or her children will answer the phone. The Shear family answers the phone. And what's great about their website, because nutrition really is the forefront for most people in pet health. And if you have problems, they have a whole chart on their website that'll help you solve some of your dog's health problems. So, for example, if you have an overweight dog and you want him to lose a few pounds, or you have a senior dog and he's not as active, you don't want him on a high-protein diet. You want him to have a little bit lower protein, less fat in his diet. And, you know, rabbit is actually a great protein source for that because it doesn't have a lot of fat. So your heavier dog can lose some weight, still getting a good, healthy protein, and your senior dog is not worried about a lot of fat. But if you have a dog that you've adopted from a shelter who needs to put on a few pounds, you might want to consider a protein like duck or pheasant. So, or if your dog has allergies, or, you know, if you want to give your dog a snack so that he can feel, if he's overweight and you want him to feel fuller, longer, you want a high-fiber snack like sweet potato. So their particular website gives you some of, you know, some great answers in terms of how can you manage nutrition. You know, in the past we've seen age-appropriate food. Then in the last few years we've seen breed-appropriate food. Now we see problem food that we can purchase every day and not necessarily from the vet. So I think there's so many solutions out there because people really, they do spend time, whether they're looking at food or they're looking up health conditions. I mean, a recent study said people spend about 30 minutes a week monitoring and looking up, getting recommendations for their dog's health and wellness.
Everything you talked about today, that's just really interesting. I'm sure people are going to want more information about that. Can they just go to your Facebook page to find out where they can get more information?
Facebook, Twitter, I post money-saving tips, pet health, and they go to charlottereed.com. And I put advice up all the time. And they can always write, post a comment or a question. I'll be more than happy to help them.
Okay. Charlotte Reed, pet trendologist. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.